good leaders in the church. And I shared with them about my reading of two books by James Hunter. One is titled The Servant, the simple story about the true essence of leadership. And the other is The World's Most Powerful Leadership Principle, How to Become a Servant Leader. Well, James Hunter maintains that we are going through a leadership crisis. We have a crisis with our politicians, with our CEOs, even with church hierarchy. They all seem to disappoint us, to be incapable of true leadership. According to a recent poll, 8 out of 10 Americans believe that top executives have the tendency to be more corrupted than the general population, that they will not hesitate to do anything illegal or immoral if it's profitable. Well, we just saw this past week what some senior staff member of Planned Parenthood did to gain some profit. They sell, can you imagine, they sell fetal tissues, aborted fetal tissues for profit. I mean, if that is not leadership crisis, I don't know what it is. Well, according to James Hunter, again, 3/4 of American corporations send off their people to leadership classes and spend each year an estimated $15 billion for training and for consulting for those who are in leadership teams. And it doesn't work. It's not working. Because, once again, according to a Gallup research, 3 out of 4 people who quit their job, they're not quitting their company. They're quitting their boss. They give up because they cannot stand, tolerate their boss. So we are in a leadership crisis. But it's not something new. 600 years before Christ, according to today's first reading, Jeremiah noticed that there was a crisis of leadership. The kings of Judah and Israel, the two kingdoms, had betrayed the trust placed in them. They had misled the people. And now the people of Israel were about to fall into a great tragedy. They were going to be conquered by the Assyrian and Babylonian armies. They were going to be destroyed and the survivors brought as slaves to Babylon. So, a crisis of leadership. What did Jeremiah say? God is fed up with these kind of leaders, with these kind of shepherds, as the Bible calls the kings. They are supposed to be shepherds who take care of their sheep, and instead they took care of themselves, abusing the sheep. God will punish these evil shepherds, and he himself will now take care of his sheep. He will appoint good shepherds to look after the sheep. We immediately recognize in this prophecy by Jeremiah the coming of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, a descendant of David, the first shepherd king, a descendant of David who came to gather the sheep, to take care of the sheep. He is the one that truly knows us, knows his flock, and leads us. Leads us where? What is the first duty of the good shepherd? According to the responsorial psalm, the beautiful Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me to fresh waters. He refreshes my soul. He leads me to rest. The first thing that the good shepherd does, he takes us with himself to rest. That's what Jesus did in today's gospel. As the apostles returned from their first mission, he said, "Let's go to a place by ourselves to rest." The Lord is our shepherd because, first of all, he leads us to a place where we can be replenished. where we can be freshened up by staying with Him. The Lord is our shepherd because He leads us to be with Him, to follow Him. We are not sheep of Christ. We are not the folk of Christ if we first don't spend time with Him, if we don't set aside some time to be with the Lord. I mean, it's summertime. We are supposed to take some vacation, some time off. But oftentimes our time off is actually something that leaves us even more tired than before. When I have my day off, sometimes I end the day and I feel more tired than in the morning, because I did everything but rest. I searched maybe for entertainment or other things, but I'm not rested. The first challenge, I believe, that we hear in today's gospel is that we set aside time to be with the Lord in silence, in solitude. St. Bernard had a saying in Latin, O blessed, O sola beatitudo, O beata solitudo. O blessed solitude, my only blessedness. Now, solitude is not the same as loneliness. Loneliness is empty and miserable. But solitude is being with God and with myself, spending time with Him and with myself. The Good Shepherd leads us to an encounter with Him and with ourselves. The good leader always does that, is able to give his people, his team, time to reflect, time to nurture the spirit, to be strengthened, to be motivated again. Jesus is our Good Shepherd. He takes us to a place of solitude, of silence, to be with Him. See, this is the key issue of those who want to be disciples of Christ. We first need to spend time with Him. I believe that one of the greatest problems in our church today is that we don't spend enough time with the Lord. We think that we know who God is. We think that we know who Jesus is. But we don't spend time with Him. We are not truly His disciples. The first challenge is set aside time to be with Jesus. And as Jesus took His disciples to a deserted place, the plan didn't work. People found out, and great crowds were waiting for them. And Jesus was moved with pity. And that's, I believe, the second dimension of Jesus being our shepherd. He not only takes us aside to be with Him, to be nourished by Him, but He encourages us, urges us to be like Him, moved with pity. This world needs to stir us up, to move us to compassion, to move us to pity, so that we may become shepherds for our brothers and sisters. Just like Jesus was moved with pity and began to teach them, and we will hear next Sunday, He also multiplied the bread and the fish to feed the multitude. If Jesus is our good shepherd, He not only takes us aside to be His disciples, He transforms us into apostles, into missionaries. Once you are a disciple of Christ, then you can become apostle of Christ. Once you spend time with Him, once you got to know Him, then you will be moved with pity, just like Him, for everybody else. And you will be sent by Jesus to be a shepherd, to be a leader for your brothers and sisters. I think this is the challenge that even the Pope is setting before us. You know, I just found a beautiful book by a Jewish scholar, Jeffrey Krames, and it's titled, Lead with Humility, 12 Leadership Lessons from Pope Francis. You know that Pope Francis was mentioned as an example of leadership by business magazines such as Forbes, Fortune. Pope Francis is becoming for us an example of shepherd. of leaders. He leads with humility. I encourage you to find out more about how the Pope is leading the Church. He's becoming a true example of leadership, so much so that even the business world is paying attention. The Lord leads us to restful waters. The Good Shepherd takes us aside to be his disciples, to learn from him, to be nourished by him. And then he sends us forth, moved with compassion for the world. Let us pray that we too may experience this great leader, Jesus Christ, this great shepherd of our souls, and that we, having spent time with him, may go forth with compassion for the world.